More number 50. Now, I did notice when I watched the service the Sunday that we were gone, there was about six people up here singing. I don't want to be the only one up here with Larry. Thank you. Number 50, shout to the Lord. Oh, Ben's coming up, I see. Number 50. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort,
my shelter,
tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus,
my Savior,
Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort,
my shelter,
tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Good morning on a beautiful Sunday morning. My goodness, we have been so blessed with the mild winter thus far. It's good to see you all here today. Some announcements that I will go over before we go on. Of course, today is our annual meeting, and we do have dinner. The consistory and their spouses are hosting dinner, lunch, whatever you want to call it, after church, which will be pork loin sandwiches and some very famous baked beans, dairy bar potato salad, ice cream. So you're all invited to stay. Please do. Of course, you're all welcome for the annual meeting as well, which starts at 12:45, and that's when we will start it. But whether or not you can stay for that, you certainly are welcome to stay for dinner. We hope that you do. We don't have to have a snow date, So we don't need to talk about that. But I do need to mention once more the nominations to the consistory. And this time, I'll probably ask these guys to stand. Most of you know them, but maybe not everybody. So Tim Fryer, if you want to stand, he's been nominated to serve as elder first term. That is for the position, I should have wrote this down, of David Herbold, I believe. Then Ron Schaefer, if you want to stand, Ron, nominated to serve for elder first term, and that's for the position where Justin Plooster was. Ben Crick, he's nominated to serve his second term as deacon. Daniel Schaefer, nominated to serve first term as deacon, and that was where Matt Fisher had served. As it says in the bulletin, there can be nominations from the floor by the voting membership. This plant here on my left, that's in memory of Robert Gramko, Gary's older brother. And so thanks, Jane and Gary, for sharing that with us. His funeral was this past Monday in Avon. Really, the only other thing that I want to mention, and this is just an FYI, over at Viberg, it started maybe yesterday, but this movie called American Underdog, that's the life story of Kurt Warner, that NFL quarterback. Ann and I saw this after Christmas, I think, in Sioux Falls. It's a good faith-based movie. So today and next Sunday at 2 o'clock, and then there's two Wednesday evening shows and a Friday, well, a Saturday show. It's in there, you can read. But very good movie. Just throwing that out there for you. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a beautiful, beautiful day here that you blessed us with in this part of our world. And as we sing to you, Father, we're so excited to be here. We sing of your greatness and your power. We know the mountains bow down before you, and all of the heavens proclaim your glory. Your word says that in Psalms. And we, as your children, are here today to sing your praises. You've given us voices to praise your name. And let us do so with all of our heart and soul and mind and spirit. For Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Heavenly Father, you are the Ancient of Days. And Father, we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill this place, for you to move among us this day as we honor and praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So our first hymn is, 640, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, in your hymnal that you have, there's just two verses. In our old hymnals, there was a third verse, which we have the words when we come to that point. And pay special attention to those words. We'll hear more about that during the sermon. So let's stand together as we sing this, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Calls me from the world of care and fear.
That's what we're talking about. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Hi. Oh. Morning, Ron. Bless you. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Lots of prayer requests, that's for sure, that I have down. Well, let's start with a joy. You got that ready, Abby, in a second? So Logan Schmidt, he graduated from basic training in the Navy on Friday up at Great Lakes, Illinois. Their training station, and Barry and Deb and Lane got to go, and probably Pat too. No, shucks. So exciting. I got just two pictures to put up. This was right after the ceremony, I think, right? And then one more with the family. Yeah, so. When Weston got to go. Yep, and I got to watch parts of the ceremony live that morning online. It's just so impressive and just pretty amazing, as they tell these young recruits, you know you are serving in the most powerful Navy in the world. There were 876 young sailors. Praise the Lord. So, and now he's down at San Antonio, Texas, for further training. Okay. All right, a couple other things then. Scott Plath, this is Kristen Heckenleibel's dad. He had a pretty major surgery on Friday, related to bladder cancer, so be praying for him. Tyler Ulmer, did Tyler make it? Nope. He had surgery on his ankle on Tuesday. Yeah, it went well. It was to repair a tendon in his ankle, so prayers for him as he recovers. Continued prayers for Elton Herbolt as he's out of the hospital, but he has to have IV treatments once a day that he goes for. So prayers for him. And Myrna. Myrna's here somewhere, I think. Also, Lonnie Graber. This would be Teresa Newhart's father, and he has surgery this coming Tuesday. He has to remove part of his leg, his lower leg. So be praying for him and through the surgery during the recovery time. Let's see. Lee and Pat Palmerville. This went on the prayer chain, but Pat has COVID for the second time. You know, they've just had so many struggles for this last year. She's doing okay, trying to keep separate from Lee. Lee's struggling more and more all the time, not really able to walk now at all. So lots of prayers for them. If you're on the prayer chain, you know that my dad tested positive for COVID Tuesday night and then was taken to the hospital Wednesday. Which he still is in the hospital. COVID-wise, he's doing well with that, really. Didn't have to have any kind of anything, but he lost all the strength in his legs completely. So that's why he's still in the hospital undergoing therapy. My mom also then Thursday got it, but she's asymptomatic, so she's doing well. My sister Lori is there with her. So prayers for them. That's what I had down. So anything else over here? Tricia.
Sandra's twin sister, her husband is in hospice and
okay. Okay, sorry to hear that. Sandra Fisher's twin sister, her husband is in hospice and not doing well, coming close to the end. What's his first name?
Larry.
Okay. All right. Anybody else over here? Steve.
Prayers for the family of the 17-year-old that was killed in Parkston.
Yeah, okay. And was he from Parkston or Mitchell? Mitchell? Okay. There was a 17-year-old boy killed in an accident. I think it was east of Parkston, though, the other day from Mitchell. So prayers for that family. Yeah, it's very tragic. Okay, over here. Yes. Is that Emily? Oakley? Emily Hall's birthday is today. Today. Happy birthday, Emily. All right. Okay. Oh. Hayden. Drawing a blank. Today is Jolene Dangle's birthday. Happy birthday, Jolene. All right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day again, for these birthdays mentioned and some that weren't, I'm sure. We ask your blessings upon them and their lives. Father, for Logan Schmidt and the family, Barry and Deb and Lane and Pat, and what an exciting weekend as Logan finished the basic training and now goes on to further training in our Navy. And we're just so excited for him. We thank you for him, as well as all the others that serve in our armed services, Travis, Graham Co, and Corwin, Auk, and others that are in the guards, and many names in our bulletin, Lord. We just lift them all to you and thank you for them. Thank you for keeping them safe wherever they're at. And as we pray for them, we pray for our nation, Lord, in the situation over there in Ukraine and with Russia. Be with our president. Be with our military advisors as they in the talks and discussions and hopefully many prayers, Lord, for good and wise decisions here, Father. We pray for Sandra Fisher's twin sister's husband, Larry, in hospice, and sounds like getting closer to going home to be with you. Be with that family, Don and Sandra, as they're there, and maybe others. Lord, just fill that room with your presence and minister them your comfort and your peace. And for the family of this 17-year-old young man from the Parkston, Mitchell area that was in this accident, Lord, we pray for his parents, siblings, classmates, friends, the boy that was driving the car. So difficult, every part of this, Father. They need your help in a big way. And you are the God of all comfort. So we thank you for ministering to them. We pray, Lord, for these many here with surgeries, Scott Plath, Tyler Ulmer, Elton Herbold, these that have come through surgeries. Be with them in the recovery time. We pray for Lonnie Graber as he comes for a pretty major surgery on Tuesday. We just lift him before your throne and give the doctors wisdom there and guide them, Father, in this process. And we pray for healing to Lonnie's leg. We pray, Lord, for his emotional well-being, as I'm sure this is not easy. By any means, just lift his spirits, Lord. Let him know that you've got him in the palm of your hands, as only you can do. And we thank you for that. For Lee and Pat Palmerville, we continue to lift them up. Such a struggle they've had. And also Marilee's daughter, Glenda. Again, another lot of health issues there. We pray for these, Lord, as I'm sure they're getting weary. But Lord, you are the one. You are the one. When our hearts are overwhelmed, you say, lead us to the rock that is higher than ourselves. And Jesus, you are our rock on whom we stand. I pray for my parents and many, many, many others who are in the same struggle with COVID and probably in worse situations even. But just give them strength. Lord, we lift our health care workers up to you. We're so grateful that for them, wherever they serve, in clinics and hospitals, care centers, whatever it might be, that you fill them with your spirit. Father, we thank you for our first responders as we had the fundraiser last night for our ambulance crew, and as they answer in a moment's notice, and our firefighters, bless them, Lord, for the work they do as well. For all these things, we thank you. Lord, we ask for revival to this nation. One other thing, Lord, I want to pray for those that are getting ready to lamb and calf as we're coming right there. If we're not in it already, just be with them, watch over them, keep them safe, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is never futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose." Let's stand and we will sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, as you strengthen us, you help us to be able to stand firm, to never be moved as we stand upon your word, as we live our lives for you, serving you in whatever way it might be, in whatever phase of life we are in. It is all for you and for your glory, and so we give to you our offerings, our tithes we bring into this storehouse, for the work of your kingdom, for the spreading of the message that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And we know that is true, and we stand upon it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Kids can come for the children's time.
Hi, it's good to be back, boys and girls. How are you? Well, I want to thank Justin and Joni for doing the children's when I was gone and for everybody that did everything that they did. It's just amazing. And I just share a couple things here with you. I have a suitcase here, and Marie was sitting over there, and she asked me, "Is that your suitcase?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she said, "You didn't unpack it?" And I thought, you know what? I'm usually the one that doesn't unpack quite as fast as Mike does. But then I just thought of something else she said once. And, you know, Rachel teaches, you all know that, preschool this year, and Marie's in there and other kids. And whenever I would see Marie sometimes at different events, not at church, she would say to me, "Where's your kid?" And she was talking about Rachel. So that reminded me of another situation once, you know, out of the mouth of babes, right? I don't know that I have this totally right, but Mike was sitting with the family and they were talking, and soup kitchen, and their daughter that was like 2 years old, she just wanted to get in the conversation really bad, but apparently Pastor Mike was talking, and all of a sudden she's like, God, God. She's trying to get his attention so she can get her words in, and, you know, I mean, you just have to laugh at these things, right? Out of the mouth of babes. Well, I missed you guys, and we do have one picture to show you of us, maybe, if Abby has it. There we are. We're in Cancun, way far away in Mexico, and it was really, really good. Pastor Mike's probably glad I didn't show the picture of him in his bathing suit, right? You're welcome. Thanks, Abby. But anyway, so this is what we brought on our suit on our trip, and this is a suitcase. And when do you use a suitcase? When you go on a trip, right? When we go on a trip. Now, when I was a little girl, my dad was in the Army, and he, you too? Yeah. And when sometimes he had to go on a trip, and he had to go on a trip for like a year, and sometimes it was a year and a half away. And he would have a suitcase, but he would always tell us, I'm coming back, right? I'm going to come back. And he always did with his suitcase. And that reminds me of even some of you in here. I know that some of your moms and dads are in the National Guard, or some of you might be in the military, and I know for sure one girl sitting up here, her mom had to pack a suitcase and go away for 3 months. Was it 3 months? Now, I'll just say, it's okay to say you? Raylan, her mom took a suitcase, but did Raylan know her mom was coming back? Right? She was going to come back. And so because of that, Raylan kept on doing the things that she would normally do when her mom was here, right? She went to school. She did her chores. She came to church. She was with her dad and her grandparents. She didn't just say, well, my mom is gone. I'm not going to do anything, right? They're gone. And did I say that when I was a little girl? My dad is, and when my dad went, that was way in the day of no cell phones, not even phone calls, really. We had letters. My dad wrote us letters. But we just keep on doing what we're supposed to do, right? When our parents go, and maybe some of you have parents that go on a trip. Occasionally, your dads or moms go away, but they come back, right? Well, do you know what? Jesus told us that too. When he was getting ready to go up to heaven, he told us, I am going, but I will come back to you in John chapter 14. He said, I'm going up to heaven now, and I'm going to be with my Father God. But guess what, boys and girls? I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to get you. Now, we aren't going to need suitcases. We're just going to, if we're still living on the earth and Jesus blows that trumpet, guess what? We're going to fly up to heaven, and that will be so wonderful. It will be so neat. So now, though, while we're waiting for Jesus to come get us, do we just, because he said, you know, I don't see him right here with my eyes. I know he's coming back, but do I just stop doing what I'm supposed to do? Do I say, I'm not going to go to church anymore because, you know what, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, so I'm just going to do what I want to do. Do we do that? No, what do? We do the same thing that we do every day, which is we pray, we come to church, we come to Sunday school, we listen to our parents, we go to school, we do the best we can, right? Do we do the best we can? Yeah, we do. We do the best that we can. We try to be kind to each other and tell others about God and Jesus because he's coming back. What do you want to say? Are they going to go on a trip too? And they'll probably pack a suitcase. Are they going to come back? Yeah. They're going to come back. What's in the suitcase? You want to know? I tell you the truth. There is nothing in this suitcase. Except for there is a little bit of sand. I haven't got all that out of it. But the whole thing is you guys. Okay, listen. It's okay. You can tell me after, okay? When Jesus, he's going to come back. So we have to be ready. We aren't going to be moved. We're going to be steadfast. I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love others. Okay? We're going to do that? All right, let's pray. Ready? Time to pray now. fold our hands, close our eyes. God, we love you so much, and we're so excited to be back here. It's so wonderful to be home, Lord. Thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you for your promise, Jesus, that you are coming back for us. We wait for you, and in the meantime, we will do what we know we're supposed to do, love you and love others. Help these boys and girls to be a blessing wherever they go this week, to shine the light you've put in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for doing that. While the children are going back to their seats, we'll sing number 34, The Sacrifice of Praise. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Let's bow in prayer once more, please. Yes, Father, we do. We bring to you the sacrifices of joy and praise and thanksgiving for your goodness, thanksgiving for your word, Lord, that we live in the day where we have your word in printed form. We can have it on our phones. We can have it in our headphones, cassette player or CD player, whatever it might be, that it's always, instantly with us. And we thank you for this time where we gather to hear your word together, sitting at your feet. So, Lord, I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we are ready every day for your return, that we are excited about it, that we live for you every day as if it were our last, as if we were going to live out many years to come. Father, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to be finishing 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll sort of finish up today. We were in Thessalonians for two Sundays, and now 1 Corinthians 15. Before I read that, starting in verse 50, though, I have to say this little deal that I read recently. As we think about the second coming of Christ, I think this applies. It says, there was a young man who asked out a young lady on a date. When the date night came, he was to pick her up at 7 o'clock. She was ready on time, but he was late. By 8 o'clock, thinking she had been stood up, she put on her pajamas. At 9 o'clock, the doorbell rang. It was her date. When she answered the door, he stared at her pajamas and said, "I am 2 hours late and you are still not ready." We don't want to be that way when Jesus comes, just like Anne talked with the kids about. Okay, verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. So I can't really go back to last Sunday's. You'll just have to listen online to that because I don't have time. But Paul is teaching the Corinthian church about the rapture and about his second coming. Paul taught the Thessalonians about the very same two things. Jesus spent much time talking about it in the Gospels. And I told you, probably before Christmas even, that 23 out of the 27 books of the New Testament talk about his second coming. It's important. Important to know. Some maybe think, well, Pastor Mike, I know. Yes, I believe it. And it's going to happen no matter what. It's going to happen. True. But let me ask you this. You take that attitude with your natural affairs of life? You take that attitude if you're farming? Well, spring's going to come no matter what. No matter what I do, it's going to come. Well, is that the right attitude to have? You're going to be in trouble when it comes, aren't you, if you're not ready for it? Or whatever the job might be, ongoing training or things we prepare for. No, we prepare for it. We learn about it. We know about it. So it is with this. Verse 35, I didn't read it today. I'm going to read that one verse from last week. Paul saying to this church, because remember there were false teachers coming in saying, number one, that Jesus had already come back and you missed it. Secondly, some of them were saying, well, your loved ones have died. They missed it. They aren't going to be taken to the Lord. All kinds of stuff. And it was really troubling the church, as it would. They're a young church. So he says in verse 35, someone might ask, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body will they come? Those were their questions. That's what he's addressing. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come when that event happens? So last week, four analogies we looked at, and today I'm going to go on with, as he addresses more specifically, what kind of body. With what kind of body will they come? Number one there, if you're filling in your outline, we must be changed. We must be changed. Verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, got to know this, he is speaking to born-again Christian people who know the Lord. That's through all of this. This isn't just to whoever. It's available to whoever would believe. But he's writing specifically to believers. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood, right here, right, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, anytime he says the perishable, he's talking about these physical bodies. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable, what we will have in heaven. Okay, this body ain't going. No matter how good a care you take of it, which we should take care of these bodies, no matter what kind of shape we think we might be in or not, and when you're at Cancun, you see all kinds of bodies and swimsuits. Some you're just like, oh. Then you got the guys that are just walking around in their Speedo, you know? It's like, okay. Then you got me who's in my swimsuits with my t-shirt on. Nothing to show. Nothing impressive anyway. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So first they're what? We've got spiritually, we have to be born again. If we're going to qualify for this event and be taken when it happens, we have to be born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, that very religious Pharisee who knew practically all of the Old Testament, forward and backward, but did not know God. But came to know Jesus as Messiah. He did, eventually. No, we have to be born again, and that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. How does that work, right? You mean I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born again? No, Nicodemus. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born of water, physical birth. You must be born of the Spirit, receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. That's number one. But then the second part of it, what he's dealing with here, flesh and blood, even as we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this body is not going to heaven. Thank goodness. God has designed special bodies for eternal living in heaven. This, you've heard me probably say it many times, is just our earth suit. It's our earth suit. We've got to have it. These bodies have been designed to live on this earth, the right amount of oxygen God made on this earth for us to live here. It is not going to be destroyed until he says so. And then, yes, it will be destroyed by fire. Yes, do we need to take care of the planet? Yes. But some of the craziness things, you know, it's... when it's going to happen as far as the destruction by fire. It is. He's designed special bodies for eternal living, and that's what he's talking about here. Even though these bodies, Psalm 139 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are. But really, do you want to take this body to heaven, the one you're living in? Kids might say, yeah. Bodies can do incredible things. We're coming up to the Winter Olympics, aren't we? I love the Olympics. I mean, you see amazing feats, just incredible things. I'm in awe of what God allows people to do with the physical bodies, but still limited. These resurrected bodies are going to be amazing. Second, letter B. So first, we must be changed, he says, verse 50. Verse 51 is talking about then the great transformation, as we call it. The great transformation, verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We, he's talking believers there, we will not all sleep. What did the word sleep mean? It means death. We will not all die, okay? But we will all be changed. Talking about believers. There is going to be a generation on the planet that is going to be alive when this moment happens. Could it be us? Yes, it could be us. Absolutely. David, Jeremiah, the ladies are watching this series in their Sunday school class, and I watched it with Ann last night, what they saw today, and he's talking about globalism. Everything's going to this globalism. We see it talked about. We hear about it, the desire for the one world currency, their desire for the one world government. That's globalism. He brought out too in Europe, I've heard this many times over, they have the technology, they're doing it in certain European countries where they're putting that microchip right in here in this part of the hand that has everything about that person right in there. That's not far-fetched to think about, is it? We got everything you need to do in that little cell phone right now. Banking, shopping, you name it. All of your life can be on that cell phone, so why couldn't it be on that chip inserted under the skin? And all you have to do is swipe by. It'll come here too. Is that in itself the mark of the beast, the Antichrist? No, in and of itself it's not, but it's conditioning society for that when that day happens and the Antichrist steps into power and begins to rule on the earth. And when is that going to be? It's not going to be, the way I see it anyway from Scripture, until after the church is raptured out of here. Okay, so if you're right with the Lord and you're ready for that, yeah, you don't have to get all shook up about it because you shouldn't be here. You should not be here. It's going to happen in that time of that seven-year period where it's going to be horrible on the earth. And he is going to step into power filled with the devil. He's going to bring peace. He's going to have all the answers right at first. About halfway through, I mean, he's going to institute that for one right there. Halfway through, then he's going to show who he really is, possessed by the devil. It's going to be horrible. Horrible. That's another deal. Getting ahead of myself. Where was I at? The great transformation. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That the mystery, we should know that. It just means something that previously has been hidden. Previously when? Well, really, mostly through the Old Testament. But there are glimpses of the rapture of the church in the Old Testament. One big one is Enoch. All the way in Genesis there, I didn't re-look up the chapter this morning, but the early chapters of Genesis, it says about Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 brings it out in verses 5 and 6 about he was and he was not, and they could not find his body because God took him. It's a picture already then of the rapture of the church. Remember, the question is, what happens to the body? The body that's sown into the ground, your physical bodies, one way or another, whether it's a full funeral, casket burial like that, sown into the ground, whether, as we see more nowadays, all that decay process is speeded up with cremation and the ashes are put in the ground, typically. That's the seed that is sown, the body. And what's going to be the harvest, the fruit of that? The resurrected, glorified body. We went into that more last week. The mystery is, what he says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. Here it is. We will not all sleep. I said that a little bit ago. There is going to be a generation on the earth that sees this happening. And then he's going to talk about next, letter C, it is a process. It is not a process. In other words, something like our process of being born naturally and growing into our adult lives over the 15 to 20 years. No, it's not a process. What does he say, verse 52? In a flash. King James says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I love that word moment there in the Greek. It is A-T-O-M-O-S. I'm not a Greek speaker, but atomos, we'll just say it that way. Well, you can obviously see the word, English word that we get from that, the word atom, A-T-O-M. Now, in the late 1800s, they had been thinking, of course, that there are smaller particles than what they could see, even with the microscopes at that time, but they were limited. It was in this time, late 1800s, the X-ray was developed. Scientists began seeing, wow, we see these little particles bouncing around. And they called him Adams, A-T-O-M-S, off of this Greek word from this very verse of Scripture when he says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment. The reason they named the Adam, is part of that word also means it is something that is uncut, cannot be cut. It is indivisible. That's what they thought. Of course, they're learning all the time, right? In 1938, nuclear fission, the splitting of the atom, was discovered. 1938. And we know what came from that, right? The development of the atomic bomb. And we know when we used it, at least the adults, I don't know if the kids all have learned about that yet, in World War II against Japan. There in the Pacific, the first bomb was dropped. These were in August. First was August 6th, 1945. The first one was called Little Boy, dropped over Hiroshima, Japan. Both of them together caused 140,000 deaths. So that day, August 6th, over Hiroshima, Japan, it covered an area demolished, I should say, an area of 5 square miles. You think from here to Olivet, and north and south and east, just obliterated. And then 3 days later, the other one was called Fat Man. August 9th, obliterated an area of 3 square miles. It could be split. And then they learned, oh, electrons, neutrons, protons, all of this. But the point of this verse, back to this, is though, when this happens, it says in a flash, and then he goes on even more specific, letter D, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you might think the twinkling of an eye, is that when we blink? No, it's faster than that, because you can see a blink. No, it says this, the twinkling of an eye is the sudden flash of light, and that's on the eye, it is the time it takes for when light enters the iris to reach the retina, and you know how fast that is? It's called a nanosecond. It is 1/1,000,000th of a second. How do you even wrap your head around that? You don't, right? 1/1,000,000th of a second. The people that are left behind are not going to know what happens. I mean, it's going to be, whoo, that fast. I mean, they're going to know something happened. I was told here this week that it must have been in last week or a recent older adult Sunday school class when they were talking to some of this, and somebody raised the question, what about all those metal body parts? What are they going to be laying there in the pile? That's a good question. Good question. I said, I would think so, but I don't know. Yeah. Metal ankles, shoulders, knees, hips, plates. Oh, thank goodness for the resurrected, glorified body. It's going to be so glorious. What? Letter E, when at the last trumpet. We saw about the last trumpet in Thessalonians as well. At the last trumpet in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. That's what we want. And we will be changed. And 1 Thessalonians 4 brings the same thing out. Verses 51 and 52, we will be changed. No doubt about it. Verse 53, we must be changed. For this perishable, this body has to clothe itself with imperishable, the resurrected body. The mortal, this body, with immortality, the resurrected body. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written, and that's in Isaiah, will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Another translation says, death has lost its battle. Lost its battle. The final battle is death. We sing about this. That's why I sang Sweet Hour of Prayer for our opening hymn. That third verse where it says, this was written in 1845, the hymn. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. In other words, farewell to life on this earth. Verse 55, this is almost just taunting death as Paul is writing this by the Holy Spirit of God when it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It isn't. See, Satan thinks, he thinks he's still maybe got one last chance in the time of the tribulation. And yeah, his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. He always tries to do that. But he loses. He's the loser in the battle. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin. That's like, think of the venom of a snake when it bites. That's the sting. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Okay, I want you to say this part after me. You ready? After me. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He does. He does. Listen to this. I want to read this part. What makes death so powerful is unforgiven sin. Death is eternally deadly if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is, and that we call hell. If you haven't come to Him, confessed your sin, and repented of them, and received Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what we need to do. Death has no power over the Christian. We have the victory in Jesus. And verse 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. We see all kinds of crazy things. There have always been all kinds of crazy things on the planet. All of history there has. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So, you know, sometimes we can feel that. Sometimes as a pastor, I can feel that way. When I see certain things, it just, oh. Maybe as teachers, sometimes Sunday school teachers, or as parents, as you're trying to raise your children to know the Lord. And none of us are perfect. We know that. But you see things and you're like, oh, what did I do wrong? Maybe you did nothing wrong. We're doing our best together, aren't we, as a church? We all fail. We all mess up. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Therefore, he says, why therefore? Because the resurrection is fixed. It is written in stone. In God's word, it is fixed. The Bible says, so don't fear him who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Satan has no part in your soul or in your spirit. Let nothing move you. And be excited as you think about this. The only way to be ready for the unexpected day, that's his return, is to be ready every day. That young lady should have never got out of her pajamas, should she? She could have chewed him out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for so many, many verses of Scripture that you tell us about these events, and we look forward to them with excitement. Lord, help us to be ready, always, every day. If there's anyone, any one of us in here who isn't, Lord, you're the one who knows our hearts. You are the judge. We are not. But speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's areas where we need to make adjustments in our lives for you, let us know. Let us know clearly, Father. I thank you for this church, a beautiful congregation, and all that you're doing in our midst. We're excited about our annual meeting this afternoon. Lord, Thank you for your blessings in incredible ways. We do stand in awe of you, your glory, your majesty, and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we're going to sing that for our closing hymn. Number in your hymnal, it's number 80. You know it from the praise books, number 43. I stand in awe. So let's stand, please. Father, we do stand in awe of you. You are a holy God, and you deserve all of our praise and all of our worship, and we lift it to you with all of our hearts this day. Thank you for this service and your presence here. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we sing, God Bless America. God bless America. Side her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. I need to have one more quick prayer for the meal, okay? And Father, thank you for the food that's been prepared, for those that will serve it, and the time and effort that has gone into all of this. We ask you to bless it to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. Bless our time of fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If there's someone older that's staying for lunch and they can't stand for a length of time, you just get them to the front of the line, okay? Thank you, Marina. God bless you.